Thanks, Jeff. Jessica is a believer who, prior to meeting the Lord, had five children by five different fathers and several abortions along the way. Together with the father of her latest pregnancy, she was at the Salvation Army here in Spokane at the food bank getting food. And after they got food, they intended to go across the street to Planned Parenthood and schedule an abortion. And as they left the food bank there at the Salvation Army, they saw the Life Services Mobile Medical Clinic in the parking lot. They had a sign on there, free ultrasounds. They decided to stop and have an ultrasound. And they did. They saw their baby. Once they saw their baby, they said, "We're not going to have an abortion." That's Jessica and Rodney. The daughter Serenity was born then. But unfortunately, Jessica was drug addicted at the time the state took Serenity. She determined to get clean and get her daughter back. She came to faith in Christ. And after 2 years of supervised visits, she and sobriety, Jessica took Serenity home. And today she's a beautiful 12-year-old woman. Your girl there, that's grandma, mom, and daughter right there. Serenity, they attend Mosaic Church downtown, and I know the pastor there. That beautiful girl was almost not here. Almost. And if Serenity were here on her birthday, I would look at her and say, "I'm glad that you were born." And I imagine that her parents do too. And God's working in their lives, which is fantastic. Now, you know that, just like we did today, we say at birthday announcement, I'll say, "I'm glad that you were born." We are glad that you were born. But a couple of weeks ago, I was caught up short on this topic. It was a Friday night of the women's retreat. Our wives were at the retreat. Rick and I went to a dinner sponsored by Life Services for pastors. And during that dinner, the pastor gave some statistics that shocked me, honestly. Here was one. In the last 2 years, the percentage of church-going adults who identify as pro-life has dropped from 63% to 43% in just 2 years. In just 2 years. Less than half of church-going adults say that they're pro-life. Accompanying that drop is the rise in churches. Of people who identify as pro-choice. So in 2023, 22% believed in, they were called themselves pro-choice. In 2025, 35% did. So there was an accompanying rise in those who say that they are pro-choice. And then he said this, and I got kind of a little convicted on this. Just over half of churchgoers report that their church preaches or teaches on abortion at least once a year. And I know that Rick did a segment in ACE there at the 9 a.m. hour a few weeks back on abortion. But I was chagrined that in the 13-plus years that I've been here, I've never given a full message on this topic. Today's the day. No, you don't do that. Now, I know that as soon as I say that I'm going to talk about abortion, there's got to be in almost many, many, very many people here a bubbling up of emotions from deep within about this topic. Because you here may be one of the 40% of churchgoers who have had an abortion. 4 out of 10 churchgoers have been a part of an abortion. But only 7% of you have told anybody. You may be in that category. You may be one of the millions of men who have pressured their girlfriends or spouses to get an abortion or paid for that. You may be a parent who pressured a child to get an abortion. You may be a man here who wanted to keep your baby, but your partner said, "No way, I'm going to go get an abortion." And you may be here, somebody who feels very angry about the idea that anybody could choose abortion. How could you even choose that? You may be here, someone whose parents could have chosen abortion, but didn't. And you're glad that they did. And perhaps you were adopted. You may be here in any one of these groups, and you feel just the guilt and the shame of that thing, and you've kind of pushed that down way under the surface for years and ignored it, but it's still there. You may be somebody who has tried desperately to get pregnant, and you feel major resentment at those who so easily get pregnant and yet throw that away. You may be here apathetic to the whole topic, and you just wish I'd stick to preaching the Bible. That's okay. We're going to talk about the Bible. So many of us are affected by this topic, and myself included. I know that I have at least one niece or nephew in heaven that I'm waiting to meet because of abortion. But let me assure you that no matter where we land on this topic, where you land, and that you need to know, whatever's happened in your life, we love you, we support you, we are for you, we are here for you. God has grace and forgiveness for you and for me for all that we've done. And in the future, if there's anyone here who is pregnant without the comfort and covenant of marriage, know that we will walk with you through that. We will be here to support you in any way possible. We'll walk with you. So regardless of where you land on this topic or what your past has been, you're still going to get a message on abortion. All right. What does the Bible say about abortion? God's very pro-life. God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. That's how I can say, when we do birthday announcements here, and why we say this, I'm glad that you were born. I can say that because God created you. You are created in the image of God. There is no one here is an accident. No one here is a happenstance. It's just, mistake. No one here. God loves you and planned you, and has planned your days from the beginning. How can I say that? How can I say God has planned your days? Psalm 139. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, God's eyes, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God ordained the days before you even popped out. God wove you together. He made you in the secret place. That is who God is. But that's not the only place that the preborn are mentioned in the scripture. Take a look at this from the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And Samson also is that God talks about calling Samson apart from the womb. So while he was there, God called him. God formed and called Jeremiah while he was still in the womb. God set him apart for a very difficult job. Jeremiah had a difficult job, and God took care of that. Called him from the very beginning. And it's hard to not think about how many Jeremiahs, how many people called to one thing or another, how many scientists, how many pediatricians, how many space explorers, how many counselors, how many Jeremiahs have been aborted, called, ready, but killed before their time. Luke chapter 1, Mary has just found out that she is to be the mother of the Lord. She finds that out from an angel. She travels down to her old friend Elizabeth and relative Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she proclaimed, blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. John the Baptist, in utero, leaps for joy at the sound of the one who is bearing a very small embryo at that time, the embryo of Jesus. At that time, Jesus, in the place of gestation, would have been at the time when most abortions occur, between 3 and 9 weeks. Jesus in the womb. And even at that very small stage, John and his mother recognized by the Holy Spirit that Jesus is Lord. In the womb. I think God is very pro-life. He's very pro-life even at conception. The moment the egg is fertilized by a sperm, there's a flash of light that happens. We have a video of this. Let's take a look at that.
This footage shows the exact moment a sperm makes contact with an egg. You can see what looks like a spark of electricity that erupts on a cellular level. But what is it? And why does it happen? Could it be the start of consciousness? Or is it just a mere biological process that happens whenever fertilization occurs? When a sperm makes contact with an egg, a flash of light is produced indicating that the egg has been successfully fertilized and can now develop into a healthy embryo. The spark itself occurs when the fertilized egg releases billions of atoms of zinc. These atoms are released at the exact moment of conception. Some eggs produce brighter sparks than others, depending on their ability to develop into a healthy embryo. This natural process controls the development of a healthy embryo. The more zinc is released, the brighter the flash that's produced by an egg. Brighter flashes indicate a healthier embryo. This discovery could revolutionize in vitro fertilization treatment. It will allow doctors to determine the health of the embryo before implanting it into the mother and increase the chances of conceiving a child by over 50%. But why do eggs produce these flashes of light in the first place? And what's the need for zinc during the fertilization process? Scientists believe that the zinc helps to strengthen the membrane of the egg and stop any additional sperm from getting in. In other words, once an individual sperm is successful, the egg will shut down all other entry points to block other sperm from coming in. In order to do this, the egg uses zinc to make its outer wall stronger and impenetrable. What's incredible is that this process only takes microseconds. On a biochemical level, several chemical reactions have to happen for the zinc to be released. Yet all these chemical reactions happen so fast that as soon as the first sperm is in, all others are blocked from entering the egg. So how did scientists manage to see them? In order to view these flashes of light, the researchers use advanced fluorescent sensors, which can track the movement of zinc in living cells. The researchers then use a sperm enzyme to activate the eggs. This activation process causes the eggs to release billions of zinc atoms. As the zinc atoms leave the egg, they bind to small fluorescent molecules that make them visible and can now be viewed through advanced microscopy. This phenomenon was first observed in 2011 and was recorded for the first time in 2014. Besides human embryos, it has been observed in fish, mice, and frogs. In frog embryos, it occurs during the formation of the head and other facial features. Because this process has been observed across several animal species, it seems that it's a standard developmental function that occurs in all vertebrates. It's truly astonishing to witness this process that was the start of literally every one of us.
Thank you, Sherry. Isn't that amazing? Just discovered fairly recently, really. Each one of you here was conceived in light. Every single one here. So that's what's going on in the womb when it starts, right when life starts. All right. What happens during the stages, different stages? Just at 3 weeks of gestation. And here's a picture. You'll have the brain, spinal cord, and nervous system are in place. Just 3 weeks of gestation there. Let's see the 5-week period. Here's 5 weeks. You see the eyes is formed. You see that just barely you can see it there. the eye is formed, and the color of the eye, each of your, the color of eye you have was formed at 5 weeks, along with the eye there. And the ear canal was formed at 5 weeks as well. This is the stage which the heart starts beating, 5 weeks. At 9 weeks, look at the 9 week fetus here. Brain, heart, liver, limbs, and nose are formed at just 9 weeks. Brain, listen, you can, brain waves, heart wave, heartbeat, and fingerprints are measurable at 9 weeks. Brain waves, heartbeat, and fingerprints, measurable at 9 weeks. And this is when most abortions occur, between 3 to 9 weeks. We have a fetus, we have a video of a fetus at 8 weeks, thanks to an ectopic pregnancy that could get a clear video. Let's take a look at this. You can see the movement. And this is, again, this is when most abortions occur, again, between 3 and 9 weeks. Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Sherry. Wow. That's what happens when, during an abortion, that's what we're getting rid of right there, not a clump of cells. In Spokane, abortions are allowed up to 13 weeks. In Seattle and Yakima, abortions are allowed between 15 to 28 weeks. Now, if you know anything about this, 28 weeks, a fetus is viable, that is, can live outside the womb from between 23 to 24 weeks. And yet in Seattle, you can get an abortion up to 28 weeks. In Washington State, they will allow abortions up to 40 weeks. 40 weeks. Here's what the, and this is what they say, for any mental or physical health concerns. Can you think of any mental or physical health concern you could have? You could dream up anything and excuse an abortion up to 40 weeks. At that stage, what they will do is called a partial birth abortion, where the body of the baby is delivered, the head is, remains inside, and they will kill the baby. Now, I debated telling you what happens in the abortion process, but as we have a family gathering here, and I'm not going to go into detail, but know this, it is horrific, absolutely horrific what happens at any of the stages of abortion. Back to the stages at 16 weeks, and this is where you can, this is what a fetus looks like at 16 weeks, and this is where abortions are performed still in Yakima and in Seattle. At this stage, the baby can squint, swallow, suck her thumb, and wrinkle his forehead. Squint, swallow, suck thumb, and wrinkle forehead. And we have a video of a baby between 12 and 16 weeks here. Let's take a look at that. Sucking her thumb, his thumb, right there. That's that baby between 12 and 16 weeks. That's one of the things you're getting rid of in an abortion. At 20 weeks, a baby's got 350 bones that gradually coalesce into the 206 you and I all have. And like it, pardon? 20 weeks right now? All right, hallelujah, very good. Keep, hang on to that baby. That baby now has 350 bones, and as the baby grows, it will, that will become 206 bones. Pretty cool. Look at this. 20 weeks. Seattle performs abortions up to 28 weeks. I think it's important to know this information. Abortion is so widespread in our country. Every year in the United States of America, 1.1 million abortions occur. That is more than the combined numbers of suicides, cancer, shootings, and accidental deaths. Combine accidental deaths, suicide, cancer, and shootings. Abortion outnumbers all of those combined. Around the world, 73 million abortions are performed every year. Now, many of us celebrated in 2022 when Roe v. Wade was overturned. That was the court case in 1973 that allowed abortions to occur legally. And what the Supreme Court decision did in 2022 was place the decision out, take it out of the federal hands, put it into the hands of the state. Each state can then decide what they want to do about abortion. And we rightfully cheered that decision. But strangely, in the year after that, in 2023, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, abortions increased in Washington state, 23%. They went up. Why is that? Two reasons. In states that restricted abortions, they fled to states that didn't restrict abortions. And the number of out-of-state abortions almost doubled in Washington state. The other reason is chemical abortions. And they went through the roof in recent years. And this blew my mind when I heard this. Right now, between 60 and 80% of all abortions are chemical. 60 to 80%. And I'm not talking about the morning after pill. This is a description of this from WebMD. Mifepristone is an oral tablet used to end a pregnancy during the first 10 weeks of that pregnancy. Mifepristone works by blocking a hormone needed to maintain a pregnancy. Common side effects include cramping, bleeding, you feeling unusually weak and or tired, nausea, and diarrhea. Call your health care provider right away if you have prolonged fevers or severe pain or heavy bleeding. So it's a two-part medication. Blocks that hormone. But what's often not mentioned when it comes to this drug is that 11% of the women who use this drug end up in the emergency room. 11%. There are major complications like hemorrhaging or worse. Now imagine if ibuprofen, aspirin, or some over-the-counter medication had 11% of the times you use that, you'd end up in the emergency room. Would they have congressional hearings about that? Would you have skull and crossbone warnings on an ibuprofen bottle? I mean, okay, you have an 11% chance of ending up in the ER if you take this. And yet, so little is this downplayed and not talked about very much because it's sent through the mail. You can get online and order this stuff and have it delivered to your house, and without a physician involved at all, you can get that and you can terminate your pregnancy in that way. And that's why chemical abortions have increased, because of the laws that have happened. And last Friday, a week or so ago, the Fifth Circuit Court out of Louisiana banned the sending of this drug through the mail. Why did they do that? Well, you got a state like Louisiana or Idaho or some other state that banned, that restricted abortions, and so that upends the will of the people in that state. So if Idaho restricts it and they can easily get it through the mail, then the law has no effect. But sadly, that was what the Louisiana Circuit Court, Fifth Circuit, did. The next Monday, very rapidly, the Supreme Court overturned that decision. And I have a feeling we'll hear more about that in the future. But there is good news on the mifepristone front. The drug comes in two stages. And so often a woman will desperately take that first round of drugs and then say, oh my goodness, I made a bad choice and I want to reverse this. And you can reverse that. There's a good chance you can reverse that with a drug called the abortion pill reversal. And that can save a baby 63% of the time. And so if you have questions about that, you can go to Life Services. There's a national abortion pill reversal hotline you can check out. Why do people get abortions? Here's a percentage-wise. 1% of the people get abortions because performed of rape or incest. 1%. And I don't know if you're old enough like me, you remember when abortions, when it was argued, this is the reason they use it. Yeah, rape and incest, that's where we have to have abortions. Well, 1%. That is how much? 6% of abortions are performed because of potential health issues. This means that 93% of abortions happen because a child is inconvenient. 93%. A child is unwanted. A child is in the way of education or fun or a job or something. What does that say about our priorities as a society? What does that say about our idolatry as a society? that we would put a lot of these things is more important over the life of a child. Glendy Loringer is an executive director at Life Services, and she was at our church a number of years ago, shared her story. I got permission from her to share it again. There's her picture. I don't know if you remember her being here. Glendy was a student from Montana at Eastern Washington University. She got pregnant while she was there, and she thought, this pregnancy, this is going to interrupt my education, and she went and got an abortion and thought nothing of it. And then she married her husband, John, and after a while, their marriage began to have troubles. She was filled with anger, and she didn't know why or how to control that. And at one point, John was the brunt of her anger. He said, I can't take this anymore if you're going to be angry like this. And she didn't know why. She got some counseling, and she discovered that her anger stemmed from destroying a life that was in her body. She had suppressed what she had done, and her anger was coming out of that. And as she got counseling, part of her healing was naming the boy. She aborted, and they had a small memorial service for that baby. And Glendy got the healing she needed, following God all the way. She now helps others who are facing the same decision with Life Services. What does God think about children? Jeff read this earlier. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. What are children? A heritage from God. Children are a reward from Him. They're not obstacles. They're not impediments to a healthy lifestyle. They are a reward from God. Children are from God. One of the greatest joys I have, we have four children, Debbie and I, and we have 10 grandchildren. One of the greatest joys in our life is having kids and grandkids. I mean, it's a heritage. It's the thing I think about most. Yes, they take up time. Yes, they take up energy. Yes, they take up money. And we don't do half the things we want to do because we have kids and grandkids. And yet, there is nothing more eternally important than children. Nothing more eternally important than children. And whatever else that cries for our attention. Sadly, like I mentioned, the stats for the statistics for the year most recently that they have in 2023, 1,121,450 babies lost to abortion in the United States. In Spokane, 19.9, almost 20% of pregnancies end in abortion between 20 to 24-year-olds. Governor Bob Ferguson in Washington State last year threw $11 million at 30 abortion clinics in Washington State. Why did he do that? Because the federal government cut funding of abortions. And so he took your tax dollars and mine and gave them to 30 abortion clinics to make up for the difference. Elections have consequences. 74% of those who've experienced abortions say that they felt pressured into choosing that termination. 74%. 83% say they would have carried to term if someone would have come alongside them for the journey. Can you come alongside someone for a journey like that? I know that there are people, Life Services, Path of Life, Showers of Blessings, and many other organizations, but I know there are people here who would gladly come alongside somebody who's pregnant and help them and support them in that process all the way. Why all the abortions? Where's this coming from? Now, Jim Anderson ran his own abortion, not a pro-life thing in Spokane for a while. Here he's moving to North Carolina. I think he's already moved. He's got family in North Carolina. He's chasing his family. But he said this, and I've repeated this for a number of years. I think it's very prescient. Abortion is at the end of a conveyor belt in a society that worships sex. Abortion is at the end of a conveyor belt in a society that worships sex. And when sex is promoted in music, on television, in movies, it's encouraged in schools, abortions will be demanded and fought for vociferously. Spiritually, Abortion is like a blood sacrifice to unclean spirits who hate God. I firmly believe that. Just like children being sacrificed to Molech in Old Testament times. Children were demanded to have a sacrifice. See, there's a deeply entrenched spiritual dynamic when it comes to abortion. That's why prayer is so necessary. Prayer for our country. But there is some good news. There are about 2,600 pro-life clinics across 50 states, like Life Services and Path of Life and others. Pro-life clinics outnumber abortion clinics 3-1. That's a good thing. Last year, 64 Planned Parenthood locations closed. That's the good news. 96% of biologists say life begins at conception. The biologists know. The microbiologists really know. 96%. 7 in 10 Americans support limits on abortion. 70%. Catch this. Less than 1 in 10 Americans, that's less than 10%, support the Democratic Party's abortion platform. Less than 10%. And yet, the Democratic Party holds on to that platform with tight fingers. Why is that? Why do they hold on to unpopular views that more than 90% of the country doesn't agree with? More than 9 in 10, and the 90-plus percent of Americans support sane and healthy standards for the chemical pill abortions, chemical abortion pills, not just mailing them willy-nilly all over to whoever wants them without any oversight on the part of a physician. The best good news, our God reigns, and he will eventually bring justice to this very thing. Tim Tebow is a well-known sports figure. I don't know if you remember Tim Tebow. This is 2007-8-9, and he was with the Florida Gators. He was the quarterback for the Gators. They won 2 national championships during his tenure. That's hard to do, by the way. 2 national championships. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, later went on to the NFL for a short while, didn't do as good in the NFL. Where did Tim come from? Tim's parents were missionaries in the Philippines. And while they were there, his dad became so overwhelmed with the idea of abortion happening all over that he began praying for another son. They had 4 kids. They began praying for a son they would name Timmy, and he would be raised up to proclaim the word of God. And soon afterward, the entire Tebow family, and that is parents and the 4 kids, joined their dad in praying for Timmy. God, give us Timmy. Then their mother, Pam Tebow, she was at 37 years old at this point in the Philippines, contracted amoebic dysentery and went into a coma. While recovering from that coma, she discovered she was pregnant. The medications used to treat Pam caused a severe placental disruption. Doctors expected a stillbirth. They recommended an abortion, even though that was illegal in the Philippines. And the Tebows declined the abortion. We're not going to do that. See, but Pam was labeled high risk by her doctors because she was old, and she was told she was carrying a blob of tissue, a mass of fetal tissue, not a baby, and we need to get rid of that in order to save your life. That's what they told her. In an interview, Pam Tebow said this: "We didn't really have to make a decision at that time. We had made it years previous because we were determined to trust the Lord with the children that he would give us. And if God called me to give up my life, then he'd take care of my family." Her pregnancy was difficult. Almost every day she thought she would lose Timmy. But with her faith in the Lord and help from God, she sustained her pregnancy. The doctors in the hospital in Manila where Tim was born were shocked to discover that the placenta was not properly attached during the entire pregnancy. It was truly a miracle. Had she had her abortion, as the doctors insisted, there's her mom with Tim when he was a young boy there. Had they had that abortion, we would be without that quarterback, without that speaker on children's rights around the world, that advocate, without that person. We'd be without that person. But we're glad he was born. All right, let's wrap this up. Application. How do we apply this? Letter A. Have children. Now, I know for some of you, it's a done deal. It's all right. Don't worry about that. If you can, have children. Have children. Children are a heritage from God. They are a blessing from God. Every single one of them. There's tremendous pressure in our society to not have children. And for all the wrong reasons, they cramp your style, you won't make as much money, we can't afford it, it's too long a commitment. All those are lousy reasons. Children are a heritage from God. They are a reward from God. Have children. Have more. And don't roll your eyes at people who have more children. Please. Support them. Encourage them. Be that favorite aunt or uncle, taking them out to eat and encouraging them toward Jesus in the right ways. Have children. Letter B is support children. Support children from Kids Zone and Awana and nursery. We need help in the nursery. We need help at Kids Zone. And, you know, support people who are having babies, like I just said. Encourage them. Support children here. Help in the nursery and do those kind of things. Letter C, support groups who support children. And we have life services that we support, and Path of Life, and 40 Days for Life, and Showers of Blessings, and many more who care and support for children. One of the groups I like to support is called Live Action. I don't know if you know of Live Action. What they've done is created an animation of what actually happens in abortion. And they have that on a tablet, an iPad, and they'll go to college campuses, and they'll talk to people about abortion. They'll say, do you know what happens in abortion? And they'll show them this in animation. And they change minds instantly. When people look at what actually happens in abortion, they go, oh my goodness, I never knew. And they change people's thinking. Because it shows what really happens. They've been lied to for years that a fetus is just a blob of tissue. It's just a clump of cells. It's nothing. It is not. We saw the pictures. Support these groups. Live Action's a good one, I think. But there's many of them. All right, that's my message on abortion. Wherever you land in this, whatever emotions is brought up, bring those to God or come on up and talk to me. We'd love to talk more about that if you've got something going on. And again, if this has bothered you, receive forgiveness for this. God has great grace and forgiveness for you if that's been your situation in life. God loves you. This message is why I say we are a pro-life church, and we are. We believe in these things. That's why we say for birthdays, we're glad that you were born, because I am glad you were born. And I think God is too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You created us in our image, and you even gave this burst of light at our conception just to show. I believe that you are involved in this, and thank you, God, for your involvement all the way along. Thank you for the miracle of life and the way it develops and birth. It just blows my mind to think about these things. Lord, you created all that, and we get to be beneficiaries. Help us to love people who think differently. Help us to have your thoughts on this and to support those who need it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.